Hello, people. We're live.
Good evening.
Don't everyone speak at once. Fucking hell.
Good evening.
Hello.
Why? How's it going? Yeah?
Okay, Keith Richards.
Keith Richards. I don't even get that reference.
No.
Who's Keith Richards?
What do you mean who's Keith Richards?
Oh my God.
I mean, I know who he is, but.
I know you know who he is.
I didn't get the reference, but I know he's a musician.
He is a musician, but who does he play for, mate? You should know this. No, I'm not. Well, the way he spoke, mate, he just sounded like he was drugged up like Keith Richards. That's why.
Imagine I'm not. It's my weekend.
Yeah, that's true. if you want to smoke, as long as you don't inhale, you're fine.
You can have sex as long as you pull out.
Right. It's always lowering the tone. Mm. Always lowering
it's
the tone.
Yeah. So, this week we're back for another movie review.
Yeah,
we're actually going to be talking about a movie this week, and that movie is Prey, current year. So, if you haven't seen it, then don't watch this because we're going to be.
Well, no one watches it anyway, so...
That's true, yeah. All right, so that spoiler alert was completely wasted.
Yeah. In fact, watch it, give us the views. I don't give a fuck if it spoils the film. Just watch this, and then you don't need to watch the film.
True. But you never know, someone might join us this evening.
Yeah, possibly. I'm not going to hold my breath, though. Otherwise, I'll be dead. So, yeah, Prey 2022. It's a straight to Hulu / Disney Plus release. There was no theatrical release of this.
Where was Mickey Mouse?
Which I'm surprised about, really.
I think it's about funding.
Yeah.
But the idea of this was being sort of thought up by Dan Trachtenberg back in 2016. Yeah, okay. So when they were filming that absolute dog shit 2018 Predator movie, this was on the back burner.
Is that the one where the margarine tub was landing in the middle of the rocks where as a spaceship? Is that the one?
Yeah, that's the Predator, 2018.
Yeah,
that was on the telly last night, actually. The Predator.
Was it? That's where they were, the Predator was basically searching for, beaten by autism, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, that was just being a, yeah, he was just hunting all the autistic, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, that's what that movie was about. Yeah. So, synopsis briefly. The origin story of the Predator in the world of the Comanche Nation 300 years ago. Naru, a skilled warrior, fights to protect her tribe against one of the first highly evolved predators to land on Earth. Directed by Dan Trachtenberg, as I just mentioned. Cast? The cast is an interesting one, actually.
A lot of new actors, actresses and faces.
Well, it was... Yes, but it was actually quite a indigenous cast. So a lot of these are actually, you know, Comanche.
They've got a Comanche blood, haven't they? They've got either four...
I'm not too sure about that.
Well, why? What are you thinking?
I watched some interviews with the lead cast, and I'm sure one of them said there's actually no link at all, but...
Well, a name like Dakota Beavers, I think, is a bit of a giveaway.
Beavers,
and
mate.
Amber Midthunder.
That's a great name, though, isn't it? Midthunder. What's your name? Midthunder.
Yeah, it is a great name, but it's not like fucking Eastern. Sure. It's not like Western European name, is it?
No.
So I think there's some truth in the fact that this is an indigenous casting here. So
she wasn't named after Tina Turner in any way.
Again, another reference to me.
Sorry, mate. Yeah.
What the fuck? What you're
fucking used to call Thunderfies, didn't they? In the old days, that's why. Doesn't matter. Right. My jokes are getting worse.
Right. Sorry. So the only connection was Thunder.
Thunder, that's
in that reference.
Very tangible, that one, wasn't it?
Okay. All right. So anyway, Amber Midthunder plays Naru, who's the lead character in this. Dakota Beavers plays Tarby, and that's her brother.
Yep.
Dane DeLegiro plays the Predator.
Okay.
It's a man in a suit, obviously, again.
Stormy
and it's nice to see him at the top, actually, sorry, rather than right at the bottom of the list.
Yes.
Well, I mean, it's quite a starring role, wasn't it, really? I mean, we didn't see his face, but it's quite a starring role.
Yeah, but the first one was, but he hardly got a mention.
Yeah, the first one, he was only in it for 5 minutes. It was. I think it was like a total of 5 minutes. It's not a starring role, is it? Michelle Thrush, interesting name. Julian Black Antelope. Again, another sort of indigenous name. And that's it. That's all I'm doing for the cast.
Did anyone else find Michelle Thrush quite attractive? In that film? In a, you know, MILFy sort of way?
No.
Okay, moving on.
Amber was nice, though. Thunder was nice. Amber Thunder, quite nice. But anyway, that's beside the point. We're here to talk about the movies, not what we think of the female cast.
Oh, we can say what we want. Why not? We can say what we want about the female cast. Yeah, if you fancy the smear, then fair play. That's right,
mate. If you pause the film a lot and took 3 hours to watch, that's up to you, isn't it? Can I come up with a fun fact, though, to start with?
Yeah, sure.
The Comanche weren't on the Northern Plains in 1719.
No, probably not. They were nomadic.
The Comanches lived later on in the Southern Plains, not the Northern Plains, but anyway, apparently. But how do we know we weren't there?
Well, true. But then they followed the buffalo, didn't they? Pretty much.
Yes.
That was another fun fact of Plot Hole as well, was that the fur hunters, that didn't come till much later on either. That was...
I have seen photographs of that, what, you know, the fur trappers were doing to the buffalo, and it's fucking horrific. These massive, just open grassland, just these carcasses rotting.
But did you think, though, initially that that was the predator that had skinned them all rather than the fur traders?
No.
You didn't?
Because you were introduced to the fur traders earlier on, weren't you?
Yeah, but I didn't necessarily know that. That's why I thought that. So I didn't know that's what they were. Right, because, to be honest, when the film opened, I got a massive Last of the Mohicans feel before I actually felt the predator feel. Because if you play the soundtrack of Last of the Mohicans along with the sort of soundtrack as she's walking into the camp, it's very Last of the Mohicans in its feeling. And of course, it's not that far off the timeline of it either.
Yeah,
miles away.
Yeah, the slight tune, there was a tune in between or some notes where you thought, what? They've copied it.
It just had that feel because it was the colonial America and on etc. And it was just sort of very similar timelines between the 1700s and 1800s, etc. It had that very much that feeling. And I was sort of more focusing on that. And when I saw that field of bisons or whatever they were, I assumed at the start that was the predator that had done that. But then I realized, oh no, hang on a minute, they're fur trappers. And then it made sense, sort of thing.
Yeah.
See, what they were trying to say in that scene, is basically what we, the Western world, so-called, went to a place which wasn't around North America, and what we talk about in modern world, wasting things where the natives of that nation didn't do that. They would only use what was needed, and they were showing this bisons who were slaughtered at industrial levels and more. Yeah. And there was a sort of indirect message there, I thought, for the younger generation as well, with the way the world is going at the moment.
Paul
doesn't probably agree with me, but I felt.
No, I don't disagree at all. I think you can read into that as much as you want. I think it's pretty pretty standard thinking, really, when you see all those buffalo carcasses just rotting, you think, fucking hell. And the Indians are literally killing them and eating, but basically picking the bones clean and then using the bones for tools and weapons and other stuff.
Yeah. But you did see, but the MILFy was, did have a skin herself, didn't she? When she came back to say her son had died, she was also cleaning off a buffalo skin. So I presume they did the same thing, or
yeah, similar. That was the whole point of the horses and stuff, because they would hunt on horseback with bow and arrow and other stuff and take out bison.
Right.
They followed, as far as I know, the Comanche. They were nomadic and they just moved from place to place. So they basically followed the bison wherever they went, because that was basically their whole life source and their whole economy was based off of it.
Right.
They were trading as well. The Comanches, towards the end, the Comanches were trading with other Indian tribes and the Europeans as well. So
was it the French who started trading with them first? I know they've put them in this move, but I think it was a But what you're right, she did have skin, but the difference is they didn't actually do it at the industrial levels. That's
and
was
I suspect they probably ate the rest and
yes.
Yeah,
what I just said.
Yeah.
Bones for weapons and tools and other stuff. Okay. Well, here's a little question for you, right? The pair of you. They were using stone tools in this, weren't they? I.e. flint axes, flint arrowheads.
Mm-hmm. Tomahawks. Okay. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were definitely flint, right? Because I looked a few times and I thought, that's definitely flint.
I would assume it was flint because that's the most pliable material for that type of thing. Yeah.
Well, and of course, the fact that they're nomadic, they don't spend enough time to set up a blacksmith and start smelting ore and shit, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, in that case, why was there numerous scenes of Naru sharpening her flint axe?
Wasn't there in the beginning when she was sharpening?
She was sharpening with a flint with flint, wasn't it? Flint on flint.
You can't sharpen flint. I don't know. I'm not an expert in flint napping, but I know enough to know that flint doesn't blunt. It just flakes and breaks. It's very brittle. You can't polish. You can't sharpen a flint axe. You just chip away at it.
That's what I mean. Yeah, and the chipping away,
breaks,
you sharpen it. Again.
You break another bit, and it's different. There's like percussion type, and pressure chipping that you can do on flint. It really bugged me. She's like sharpening a flint axe, and her mother said it's sharp enough. I'm like, you can't sharpen a flint axe with a stone. Yeah,
it's an interesting observation. I must admit, I was more pissed off the fact that I'm amazed the fact she could actually catch that thing off the tree. I mean, can you imagine she got that wrong or missed it? I mean, you'd have been well pissed off, wouldn't you?
Well, I've got a note about that later on in the film where she's using it, and I'm just like, that would never fucking happen.
I mean, she's proper, like, knows. Okay, if you've got good hand-eye coordination, but that's going to hurt if you get it wrong. That's like using nunchucks and doing your thing in it. I mean, you get the perfect rhythm going, and then suddenly you wrap it around your own fucking neck or take your bollocks out, innit?
But don't forget, if you're doing any of the things you've just mentioned, you'll be taught how to do those things since a young age. So that's why you'll be so accurate.
No, I understand that, but it was always perfectly accurate.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, there's no way that you would be able to
consistently
catch that.
No,
that's true.
I've seen people do, and a certain person do lung chucks, whatever they're called, and it doesn't always work.
Do they get their bits by mistake? Do they?
Well, bits, face, arm, leg, whatever's in the way of you missing your sequence.
Yeah, we're not robotic. You're going to make mistakes.
Even robots make mistakes. So I mean,
yeah. Well, we're not fucking Bishop out of fucking Alien with the old knife between the fingers. You know what I mean?
All right, let's stop slagging off robots. All right, let's stop running robots down. They've not done anything to us that we know.
No.
Right.
Not yet. Well,
I think they missed a trick on this. Is another observation. I think they missed a trick with this. Have you seen the film Apocalypto?
Bits. It's a long film, that.
I haven't watched it at all.
Fucking it. All right. Wasted point. But I'm going to say it anyway. Right. That was all in like an Aztec language or Mexican, right? With subtitles. So they were all talking in a different language. You have to pay attention and read the subtitles, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think they could have done that here. They could have had them all speaking Comanche throughout the whole lot. In fact, I would have liked
the Comanche version. This was one of the first films they have completely converted into Comanche.
Yeah, I read that as well. I think they missed a trick on that. I really do think they missed that because that would have really helped the immersion if they're all speaking Comanche. I would be quite happy to have sat and watched this with subtitles.
No, you're probably right, actually, because they didn't subtitle the French either, and I've read all the French translations. Not that it was particularly difficult to understand it, but the...
Especially with your royal blood from France, I swear, it's not that.
No, I don't mean as in I was translating it as I was hearing it. In terms of there weren't very long sentences, sorry. So when I looked up what the translations were, it was all like very short phrases. It wasn't anything particularly complicated.
Like what?
Like, you know, white whore, you know, killer, you know, the devil, etc. So, yeah, it was all sort of short, phrases.
Short expletives.
Yeah.
I tell you who was one of my favourite characters in this movie was her dog.
It was cool, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was a cool, cool dog. He was the way he sort of took commands and the way he.
Well, apart from running back at her when the bear was running after him again, I mean, if he were a real, if he was a real fucking like proper dog, he would have run in the other direction. But he runs straight back to her, bringing the bear with him. I mean, that wasn't very sensible, was it?
No. Bear's a hunting dog, so I think it's supposed to sort of bring prey. But
That's a good point, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's trained to bring back fetch, basically. So.
I hadn't thought of that. Very good point.
Yeah.
Still, though, you would think to yourself, the dog should have thought, hang on, this is quite big. Yeah. I probably shouldn't, but...
Yeah, I'm sure that dogs are that intelligent. But you know what? They avoided one of the biggest tropes in movies, and that is killing it.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, killing the dog.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah, I thought they were at one point. I thought the fur trappers were going to kill it, but obviously it didn't happen, so...
I'll be honest with you, I'll have stopped watching the movie if they'd killed him. Yeah. Because I think he's the hero of the movie, personally. Right. Not because he's a dog in it. I'm one of the because I love dogs. It's just I think it made it interesting at the end the way he helped her.
I love dogs, mate. I've never kept one.
Yeah, you only like puppies, don't you?
Yeah, I've lived with dogs and it was a fucking pain in the ass.
Yeah, especially in the morning, aren't they? When you wake up and you're like, what am I doing?
Absolute wanks.
Mate, I remember once I slept around your place and I was slept in the living room and two of the dogs were basically slept in the corner. Bloody hell, the cat fell asleep, but those two, bloody hell, every half an hour coming up to me and going, play with us. In the end, I had to tell them, look, guys, play.
Yeah,
and then they fell asleep. Yes,
I forgot. Annoying. Yes,
yeah. But yeah, besides just liking puppies and stuff like that. Moving on, I think he was a hero of the movie, and the way he sort of helped it at the end was quite interesting. And I thought that was a good sort of way they did that. But yeah, again, I think the first 25, 30 minutes was interesting. The one in the middle was like the standard Predator where all these tough nuts come along and they go, yeah, we're going to beat him up, whatever. They get their heads chopped off and legs chopped off. And the last 20 minutes or 15 minutes were really interesting because they had this person who was underestimated because she was female and she was the one who comes back as a hero.
I don't think there was any discrimination on whether she was female.
I think there was when they said when the language, get back into camp, you need to be back and stuff like that. So there was discrimination there.
Oh, but I thought you meant for the Predator. I was just thinking, I don't think the Predator distinguished whether it was male or female.
No,
I thought it was quite interesting the fact that this Predator was quite vulnerable. I read that the idea behind this was that this was a young Predator actually going through the same experience in his culture that Naru or whatever was going through in hers. So they shared that experience in common. And actually, even, a wolf got the better of him to start with. He barely just about beat the bear, if you think about
it. Yeah, the bear should have actually won that.
So he was a very inexperienced Predator, didn't really know what he was doing, and learning. And he'd never fought on Earth before, so everything kind of was a bit interesting to him. And I quite liked how the Predator was learning by that and was evolving, but yet still kept the code of conduct in the fact that wouldn't kill if not vulnerable or wasn't a threat, etc. So I just enjoyed that they kept that symbiosis within all the films. It was a hunter, it was learning, and it still didn't really learn. She had learned a bit quicker by the end and got the better of it.
Well, the bit I'll tell you where he should have actually lost, if it was against the bear, because the bear had basically ripped it to bits. You could see the green blood pouring out big time. And the only reason why it won, it had big claws and it was invisible. If it wasn't any of it, if he wasn't invisible or didn't have the power to do that, he would have been out.
Well, I think I think that was the point also with the rattlesnake.
Yes.
Was that the Predator hadn't thought, because he was invisible, that he wasn't attackable. And the snake had sensed it and hence him spearing quickly the snake.
Yes.
I don't think it was a proof of speed. I think it was a fact that actually, oh shit, the snake can actually see me.
Yeah, because it started getting into attack mode.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And then he had to put the spear through his head or whatever. Yeah.
That would have been scent, wouldn't it? Snakes detect scent.
Yeah.
And vibration.
Yeah. Yeah, but that was part of the Ouchers learning of that environment, because I gathered he was obviously sort of laid down, maybe having a sort of, you know, having a little kit like that, you know, and it was just sort of wandering about. So
another thing, don't you think the master looked like a big version of a moth?
It was a bit of a weird face mask, wasn't it? It wasn't. Yeah. That was very different.
Yeah, it was very much. But, you know, after watching this, I don't want to go too much into detail till the end. I've got a really good idea what they should do for if they're going to do another Predator movie.
Okay.
Some people will say it's controversial.
Well, so
I
do
think
I.
It'll be interesting.
And it will be the linkage of the gun, because the Predator got that in his possession. So how did that happen?
Yeah. Wasn't that the one in the actual cartoon that had?
No, Raffaello Adelini, I think it was.
It's the same gun as at the end of Predator 2 that gets thrown to Danny Glover.
Yeah. But
and that's what I'm saying. That gun obviously gets into the hands of the Predators, so it'd be interesting to know how that came about. And maybe is the next sequel.
No, I'm going to go completely different to what I would like to see in the sequel, but there's a reason for it. I think it would make it quite interesting.
Although originally I read that was from a pirate.
It was, That was from the Dark Horse comic book series.
Right.
That there was a whole scene where one of the Yautja was fighting alongside a particular pirate. And
didn't they become allies or something in that?
Temporarily became allies in that particular.
But obviously, there's no prequel to that, because we were in 1719 that the pistol was 1750. So obviously they changed that dark comic idea that it came from a pirate. It came from a French fur trapper.
Well, I believe that the comic was first, so I guess the movie would have just done some sort of mental gymnastics to fit it in somehow.
And don't forget, not everyone knows about the dates anyway, or about the cartoons. So you can, that's a thing about Movie Land, you can sort of play with certain dates unless you're doing a bio.
You would have known
it wasn't
from the pirates, even from Predator 2. That's not a revelation from this film, because pirates are way before 1715. So there were pirates, obviously, at that period, but not the pirate like we think.
That was 16 something.
That's way back 15 further than that.
15 or 16.
Yeah. I mean, what era is supposed to be like Pirates of the Caribbean set in? What's that supposed to be? Early 1600s, late 1500s?
Later than Pirates of the Caribbean, slightly later, because it's got the red coats in that, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And the red coats one around. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. But I would have thought about 1600s was that era, is when, like, and in the 1500s, I think the Tudor dynasty, I think they basically hired third parties to go and pillage Spanish ships on the seas, which is where it was kind of started from.
Walter Riley, wasn't he a pirate who was hired by the Queen or something like that, or the King?
Probably.
I don't know too much about that. I know that he was a traveller and explorer, but he might have engaged a bit of piracy, who knows?
Well, it must have been somewhere between 1492, because that's when Columbus found America. So the French wouldn't have been there, so hence 1715, that makes sense in terms of the timeline. So it would have had to have been somewhere between, 1490 and 1700.
He was in between those 300 years anyway, so yeah.
Just basic history numbers, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, that's for next time, Justin. You can find out the dates and let us know next time.
Well, I suppose, and also with the weaponry as well, in the fact that it wasn't, in 86 was the laser, and in this one was like stakes. It was like hovering.
It was arrows.
Arrows, yeah.
Metallic sort of arrows.
So I'm glad that they didn't, although in terms of, because this is before everything evolves, and I'm sure even the Predator and their ships of weaponry evolve.
We've talked about this before, when they go and land and get involved with killing other species and whatnot, if there's any technology to be had, they will take it back, reverse engineer it, and then develop their own. So that's why over a period of time their weaponry has got better and better.
That's
better.
Right. Yeah.
Although
that doesn't explain explosives.
No,
it doesn't explain explosives. All the shield as well, which was quite a useful bit of kit. That
well, the shield's been around for
Romans.
has been around for longer than that. You know, yeah. The shield is a very basic tool, a very obvious weapon, yeah, very form of defense, isn't it?
Yeah, so, I mean, the Vikings put them on the side of their ships, and I suppose they're reverse engineered that. Should it be
Bronze Age and stuff before them, wouldn't it? The shield.
Yeah. Possibly. It would have been Germanic tribes. Probably would have been Germanic tribes, and it just filled out from there.
Yeah.
Anyway, cross fucking hell. It's history. This is...
This is not about the movie.
Wrong.
I mean, aren't grizzly bears that big?
Can be.
Can be, yeah.
Because that
quite
was
big.
Massive, wasn't it?
Yeah. They can be, yeah. They can grow to a fairly size.
It was basically that was a perfect competition. It's like two heavyweights that I wish they made it a little bit longer, that fight, and really made the bear really make the predator suffer more, and he gets closer to defeat, although they did show him coming close, but even closer, and then because of his special weaponry he just beats the bear rather than the way they finished it within 2 minutes. I wish it was a five, ten minute, you know. Like, well,
do you think he knew that she was there, or that he just took the opportunity to kill the bear?
He just took the opportunity to kill the bear
and saved her, or didn't know she was there and just killed the bear?
No.
Well, I think he would have just done both.
Yeah.
Because he made no effort to chase after her.
He did a bit, but kind of let her go. I think she was unarmed at the time.
True.
And the impression was every time they bumped into each other, she didn't do anything. So she wasn't a threat, but more than anything, he was just more interested in the bear because he did some reading, didn't he, from his mask. So, okay, this guy's a predator. He's pretty strong. Let's see what I can do. So he walked in there thinking, like, okay, I'm going to knock this guy out, chop his bits up, and, you know, win the heavyweight championship and walk off home.
It was quite a gruesome kill count, though.
Yeah, it was. But I wished, as I said, they had the fight, proper fight, like the bear really... is on the verge of killing him or her, the predator, and then the predator just has that special weapon and wins it. Because I think that's the only thing that spoiled that scene. Because I do feel the bear would have killed it if it wasn't invisible and a few other things. But obviously, they couldn't do it because of the movie. But yeah,
well, I don't think the bear was hugely disadvantaged by knowing it was visible. I mean, it grabbed him pretty firmly. As it went up on its back feet, it grabbed it pretty confidently, even though he couldn't actually see it.
And he ripped him, his back up quite well, didn't he, as well? Mm. If you remember all the blood coming out of there and the shoulders. But, yeah.
This makes me laugh with bears. You see a bear's feet and a bear's claws.
They're about this big, aren't they, the claws?
But they look like they're like a badly made suit, like a guy in a bear suit. If you look at their feet, their claws like flop when they walk.
Yeah,
it's really pathetic, you know. But the bastards, they're evil bears.
It's like a tiger, actually. It's a very similar thing. It's all like pads, but they push their claws out, though, don't they? They kind of project their claws.
It's like cats.
You're a bear, it's just there, flopping about. They look ridiculous. It looks like someone's just stuck them on with a bit of glue.
Yeah, you think like you could pull them off, can't you? Really, it looks like that, as you say, glued on.
Yeah, the bears are evil fuckers, though. They eat their prey alive, and
Well, they can kill Siberian tigers, which are the biggest tigers in the world, with one swipe with those claws.
Well, you've only got to watch the beginning of that film with Leonardo DiCaprio in it.
Oh, where he gets raped by a bear?
Well, fucking hell, he gets mauled.
What's that film called?
Oh, I can't remember.
It begins with an R, doesn't it? Revenant or something?
Oh, The Revenant, that's it, yeah. He gets mauled by that thing at the beginning. And it's savage. This doesn't stop.
Yeah.
Hmm.
What do we think about Naru as a character? Obviously, she's a strong female character.
Oh, tick of the boxes in this film, aren't they? Yeah. But that's the way it was then. That was probably the way it was. You know, the women did the...
It was. If you look at the Comanche culture, women were very domestic and the men went out and hunted.
That's right, yeah. But we can't complain about that in modern... We can't compare that to a modern standard because that's the way it was then.
But the thing is, this is the thing that you have problems with historic movies. Realistically, we play too much with history, okay, because of what we want for the standards of today. It's like what we do in the Bond movies, as I said. We've mentioned it in quite a few movies. Her character was very interesting, But a few hundred years ago, that wouldn't have happened. Should have been, nope, you're not doing it. That's it. That's you're not going to ask any questions. But I liked it the way they did it. It wasn't overly sort of what they do with the other sort of strong-headed women. I'm a woman, so I've got this bad attitude. She didn't have that. She just wanted to go out there and hunt.
See, and prove herself. Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is that at the very beginning of this film, the way that that was done, I didn't think it was badly done.
No.
And Nari wasn't a Mary Sue. Have you ever heard that term before?
No.
Mary Sue. Is it a very old term? Is it in Cockney sort of thing?
No, a Mary Sue is a type of fictional character, usually a young woman, who is portrayed as unrealistically free of weaknesses, originating in fan fiction, and Mary Sue is often an author's idolized self-insertion. Mary Sue stories are often written by adolescent authors. The term Mary Sue was coined by Paula Smith in 1973 parody short story, A Trekkie's Tale. It's the name of a character standing in for idolized female characters, widespread in Star Trek fan fiction.
Wow. I'll be honest with you, Mary Sue sounded like some sort of Cockney saying, be honest with me.
So that's what a Mary Sue is that it's a great one would be Daisy Ridley in the Star Wars movies. That's a great definition of a Mary Sue character, because she's like completely, she does everything, although she spends like 30 minutes training as a Jedi, and all of a sudden she's the most fucking powerful Jedi in the world, and that comes.
Yeah,
it's like what's her name, the new 007, whatever her name was, Naomi, whatever her name was.
Do you just make these names up? This is
No, the Campbell bit was, but Naomi wasn't. Was her first name in the movie?
No, first name is Noomi.
Noomi.
But so that was what I felt to begin with, is that she wasn't actually a typical Mary Sue character, but that changed for me later on in the film. And that was the part where she's in that French trapper's camp and she goes to rescue a dog. And this is one of the scenes of the film where she's taken on five blokes with various weapons, and she's jumping around, rolling about, kicking people. Bearing in mind, she can only weigh about 9 or 10 stone, stone maybe.
Yeah.
She's kicking these guys around, and the axe on a rope. The axe on a rope. And this goes back to Justin's point, right? One, she's throwing this axe around with a rope on and pulling it and catching it in midair. Perfectly.
And it's not elastic either.
No, it's not. And secondly, when she's fighting these guys, she takes two of the French trappers out with that axe by flinging, by using the rope. Now, if you were to do that in real life, you'd be lucky if you hit yourself on the back of the head with it, because it just wouldn't work. The weight and the tension in the rope, the slack, it wouldn't work. And she's done five of these guys, the stupid bit with the axe, and I thought, okay, it's kind of ruined it for me.
It was a bit unrealistic, and I think really the only purpose, of the rope on the axe, was the sensible bit of throwing it over the tree to pull herself out of the peatbog.
Yeah.
Because that was quite logical. But she didn't, that wasn't the purpose of doing the rope on the axe. It just happened to work out that was turned out to be a good idea.
Yeah.
Otherwise, she would have been squished.
Yeah, the rope on the axe was to save her running after it all the fucking time.
No, of course.
Which makes perfect sense. But there's a few niggles in this film that kind of took points off of it for me.
Well, what didn't.
Have we lost Justin?
Yeah, I think we have.
No? All right. Wasn't that drawn from inspiration of the video games? I read something of the video games that the character had a tomahawk on a rope, and it was a feature. It was a weaponry feature or something. What?
I just think it's funny. Tomahawk on a rope. Go, roll up. Get your tomahawk on a rope. $3
Yeah, and they put it into the film because it was in the video games, or it was a callback or something or other.
I wouldn't be surprised.
There was a number of video games, Predator versus Alien, Predator games and all that sort of stuff.
So it was kind of the same idea as like with the whole bloody Marvel and the Thor hammer coming back. And
right.
I understand she realised when the predator didn't have the mask, it couldn't see where it was shooting. So she learned that. And I accept the bit where she defeated the Predator and used that and then trapped him with his own sort of mask where he everything aimed at the Predator himself. But one thing I didn't really get is all the other guys are much heavier than her and stronger than her, and they couldn't do anything against Predator, but she could do more. And that's where
It was a bit where she pulled it into the peat bog, and it just felt like it was like tripped on a fucking brick or something. It's just like,
yeah, but wasn't that something to do with his leg? Because I thought that was a bit odd, but then I think that's because she did some severe damage to his leg.
It could have been, yeah. But that was the naivety of the Predator, though, that when he put up at the old dart, because there was no three dots on her because the helmet was pointed at him.
Yeah, so he realised afterwards. Yeah, didn't he?
It's a very basic storyline there, Samir. But what I'm saying is that the Predator was a bit daft because he would have seen that there weren't three dots on her.
Yeah, where he was forget that. Yeah, forget that plan. That's not going to work.
He would have gone like that, and it would have been like, hang on a minute, where are the three dots?
Something's not right.
Yeah,
abort. Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, you forgot he didn't go to Specsavers, mate. He had better eyesight, okay? And that's why he didn't realise till the end.
Well, they didn't. Hey, interestingly, they didn't show that there was a difference to his vision without the mask on. Like, obviously, in the first one, when the mask was gone, he lost all his ability to see infrared and etc. They didn't sort of give any impression that it was any change to his ability see without that mask.
So
and
what
he,
they
and
did...
also been shot in the back of the fucking head. I mean, that would have hurt, surely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh yeah. How many people on Carry On Fighting after being shot in the back of the head? You'd be like, "What the fuck?" A bit disorientated. What's going on?
I don't think he'll be even thinking that, mate. I think he'll be about dead, mate.
For me, would have been it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's like you're talking about the leg. If I remember, before he got into that a quicksand sort of thing or swamp thing, didn't the dog come back from behind and sort of cut his? Leg.
The dog just brought her the tomahawk. He wasn't weapons trained.
Yeah, the dog didn't get on its hind legs and go, come on in.
Yeah. No,
Scrappy. Put him
over. Didn't he have something in his mouth? And
tomahawk. And he brought it back to the book.
No, but
the
I thought he sort of skimmed his leg. Okay, yeah, I'm not sure.
He wasn't trained in how to slice Achilles tendons. You know what I mean?
Dogs don't have that kind of. I don't know how to use tools, do they?
I'll tell you what, that would have been a fucking brilliant scene, that, if the dog had started fucking carving him up with a tomahawk. Yeah. That would have been fucking brilliant.
The dog had started swinging an axe, hacking into its neck.
No, so it, like, it was just, he ran past him and just cut it a bit. I thought that, because I thought I saw green blood. Okay, fine, no, I must have misseen it. But yeah, I think one of his foot was, Arrow was put in by her brother or something, that massive spear. At one point, then there was another injury he had on the foot as well, and a leg as well. I think the bear had injured it, so
he
was already
put the spear through him.
Because you saw a scene
where he was zipping himself back up again. Which, by the way, that wasn't an evolution, because in the second one, he had to go into a sink and put all this stuff in and grind up a load of tiles to then fill it.
Yeah.
But in this one, he had this special thing like Star Trek that was like gumming up the wounds. And I thought, well, hang on a minute. That's modern technology that's gone the wrong way.
Hmm. Yeah, because don't they have glue now?
He was putting paste on, wasn't he? It was like pasting on and going, rah!
Yeah. He was putting smashing up bits of mirror and stuff.
That's
it,
yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this guy was like just like with a laser fucking doing up his wounds.
Yeah, can't have everything, can you? You know what? If I was making a Predator movie and I was writing a Predator screenplay and everything like that, right? I would make sure that I watched all of the previous Predator movies, and I made notes to that, because if I'm writing this, hold on a second, that wouldn't have happened.
It's not as if they weren't available to watch, is it?
Yeah, exactly. You do your research, don't you?
Yeah.
You do your background research.
Yeah.
So, but at the moment, it's so expensive, mate. What sort of margarine tubs would you use for the Predator spaceship like they did in the last one? That's the question, because that would be more expensive to buy.
I think if I were to sum that up, I think the shield was great, and I could understand that would have already been around in the past and reverse engineered it, but you never see that in any of the future films, and that was clearly quite a good weapon. Yes. He had that round thing which he flicked to a straight thing that she picked up that was in the baby boy's leg.
Snare trap.
that like a snare trap, but that somehow evolved to a massive disc that Danny Glover had in his hand, which is a bit strange. You know, the little doobie what's it on his arm, you had like jumping landmines, which I assume were like lasers, that they weren't explosives, but I assume they were like span and they were lasers that basically took out
That pissed me off. That was one of the sections that actually took a point off for me.
Yeah,
that pissed me off. That did, because it was so contrived.
Yeah, you
know, what was the matter with a gauntlet just blowing up and killing them all?
Yeah,
that'd be much more believable than these free floaty things coming out and then traveling and then blowing up.
Well, I assume they were like cutting lasers that came out, because you saw the trees falling as she came away. So I assumed.
I think what it was shrapnel inside of those things, because there's like spike bits came out, so it would have been just shrapnel that just was shredding everything. But yeah, that I didn't like that bit at all. I thought, just blow the gauntlet up, much more believable, basic, keep it simple. And besides, you know, the Predator in 87, the first movie, it just blew up.
That's it.
It didn't have little floaty things coming out of it and fucking. No.
So it was sort of modern technology going back. And I'll tell you something else you didn't see in this film at all, was him skinning and hanging anything up.
No.
Don't forget, it's Disney, so they did have to make it a little bit milder for the new generation as well.
And palatable for the Chinese audience, of course, because they don't want to lose that Chinese dollar, do they?
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Which leads me to another point, actually, on that sort of... having to explain everything to the audience. And this is another point lost. Mm. Well, I say another point, another half a point, whatever. It lost me when the Predator comes into that French camp and she's given the orange flower. I can't remember the name of what they called it.
Oh, Tutsia.
Yeah, she gave it to that guy, one of the French trappers, and then the Predator couldn't see him because it slowed the blood down.
Yeah.
And then she was hit behind a tree. Right now, I got that when the Predator was scanning using the thermo imaging stuff. Right, I was like, "Oh, right, it must be the orange petal thing." Right,
yeah,
okay, done. Thank you, got it. But no, she had to sit behind a tree. She had to dig out her pouch, open it, and goes, "Oh, you can't see him."
Yeah, I agree.
Says it out loud, not thinking it in her head. Out loud, while there's a fucking Predator behind her,
which she would have heard.
Exactly. I hate this fucking thing in films where you've got to have everything explained to you. It is true.
I thought that when I heard that as well. But did any of you think for a moment that when she did throw that tomahawk into the tree to pull herself out, and of course she was covered in mud, and she then backed up and leant against that tree, which was a callback to the 86 where he's covered in mud and he falls back into the wood. Did any of you think for a moment that the ant was going to...
for any Predator 87. Fans?
Yeah.
Whatever. Whatever.
Any real Predator fans, 87.
Yeah.
Did anyone think for a moment that the Predator was going to appear and couldn't then see her?
No.
There was an aspect... I thought that there was going to be an aspect of that, yes, is the mud thing.
Mm.
And I think it would have been fine to have done that.
Yeah, I do too. But they used the Tutsia instead as a way of not being able to see.
Yeah,
and I love the one-liner callbacks as well. By the way, if it bleeds, we can kill it.
Yeah,
I love that. I thought, fuck's sake, there was two or three of those in there actually.
If they'd done that, like copied the 87 one, I think I'd have turned it off, because most of the bloody thing is a copy. It's just different people, different time frame. As I said, first 20-25 minutes, last 20-25 minutes, it was different. In between, it's virtually the same. But more mild in the sense of the slaughter scenes where you don't see all these hanging skeletons or with some flesh. That's it. Otherwise, essentially, it's the same.
That's something that surprised me, actually. I mean, Justin, you said last week that it's quite gory, and I've watched a few other people that I like on YouTube reviewing this film, and they said that it was quite gory. I didn't think that at all.
No.
I didn't think it at all.
But I think it, when I then read afterwards that it was a young Yautja who was learning the ways, it made sense that he hadn't initially affected the art of how to do a single kill.
I don't believe that's related to the gore factor though. That's about cinematography. That's about the actual.
It could be, I suppose.
I don't know if it's just me, but I think when we were younger, I think in the 80s, I think films were more gory and you could get away with it. Now you can't, especially with Disney buying it. They're not going to say, oh, why don't we do the same as the first few Predators?
No, that's what that we're saying, that it's more gory. It's more gory. It's a gorier kill count in this one.
I don't necessarily agree with that at all.
The blood wasn't particularly vividly red. It wasn't.
No.
It was kind of... Not that I'm complaining. I'm just saying it's an observation. Yeah. Because a lot of people have said, oh, yeah, it's quite gory. It wasn't really.
It's just making me think. The people who are probably watching this, they were probably similar age to what we were in 87. Right. And they think, that's not bad. We can, watch this without being scared. I want to wonder how many of them actually have seen the 87 one. Maybe quite a few of them, maybe not. Because I'm sure when I watched the 87 one, I shitted myself. In this, I can imagine being the same age as 10, right, when I watched that in 87. And I would be not worried about it because it felt like a Hammer horror movie. It wasn't scary enough. You know, there's going to be scary bits, but not like, geez.
Well, I think it's because we know what to expect at this point. In 87, we had no idea. And the same as Alien 79, we had no idea what was hunting them or what you were going to see.
Yeah.
Now, you've got the information age of the internet. You can look up and look at all the different types of Yautja and all the rest of it and understand what they are and et cetera. It's not scary because you know.
Yeah, and I think we know it's a bloke who's about 7'5" or something in a suit as well. As a kid, you don't really think like that, do you?
I've said this many times. I think that's what makes these Predator films so good. And it's a shame that they have made some bad ones because you just don't need to CGI. It is a man in a suit. Therefore, the stunts can physically be done. You haven't got to CGI it all the time.
Yeah,
I mean, speaking of CGI, there were some moments in this where it was blatant obvious.
The bear there's a little bit of CGI?
Yeah, the bear all was. It was all. Yeah. I mean, you're not going to be able to get a bear to do that, are you? But
no.
The elk or the stag that she was chasing in the very beginning that she was trying to hunt as well, that was so obviously CGI.
That was CGI, the dog CGI in certain scenes?
Quite possibly. I didn't really pay much attention to that, but quite possibly, yeah.
Because he looked like Scooby-Doo in certain scenes.
Scooby-Doo! That would have been good, wouldn't it? Scooby-Doo.
I quite like the first encounter we have with the young group of Comanche where they first come across the Predator. And they first get attacked. I like the fact that they didn't back down.
No,
they didn't run off. There was none of that typical Hollywood, like, oh, one of them legs it because they're scared shitless and the other one charges stupidly.
When they were like standing off it behind the big fallen tree.
Behind the fallen tree. Yeah.
It's like, face it.
I quite like that because they just went, fuck it. They just went for it.
I was going to say, wasn't it part of their culture where if you get challenged, you just carry on, doesn't matter if you lose your life or whatever? Don't forget the other ones were in more modern times as well, where life was more valued more. And we like our modern armies are not being told if you get challenged, doesn't matter, you just go out there and run towards the enemy. Most of the modern sort of combat is said, if you can save your life, go the other way.
If you could blow stuff up with a drone, do that.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is as well. That's what I'm, what I'm trying to say.
Get out there in the dirt.
I agree with you, Paul. I did like the fact he jumped over the log and he was like, rah! They did draw a bit of blood as well, didn't they? I mean,
they had a proper go at him. Definitely.
Yeah.
And it was quite good. I like that bit.
Yeah.
I'm just looking for my notes here. I've done most of my stuff.
There was another one as well. Phrase. Since I mentioned it, I was trying to think what the other ones were. Was the when she says, "Oh, come on, do it." That was another callback to the 87. So the forget the scene in this one, but she's sat there.
She says, "Come on, do it."
Come on.
And she says the same thing as Arnie says in the 87 one.
She said, "Oh, come on,
come on,
come on, son."
Yeah.
But the thing is, if you think about it, she should have set up a load of tripwires, because that was the other thing to notice as well, that he wasn't really using the trees very much. He was learning that through this one. If you look carefully, at the start he wasn't. As the film went through, he was using the trees more and more, as if he was thinking, hang on a minute, I can't be seen. And he was starting to adapt and use the trees. But to start with, he wasn't. It was running on ground level.
But Justin, I just want to mention something. You mentioned something. She should have been using more tripwires. I think tripwire wasn't invented at the time.
Well, it's not a bit of rope. It's not.
No, you said tripwire like in 87. So I thought I just.
Landmines.
So they were fucking claymores.
Why didn't she use landmines?
I don't doubt she didn't have any claymores, mate. But, you know, she could have tied a rope from a tree to a tree at ankle height.
Out as well, mate.
You know, they were trapping rabbits and God knows what else in that era. I think they, you know, and obviously I gathered the iron traps on the fur trappers was a bit alien to them as well. They'd never seen those before. So I'm guessing, you know, foreign trapping techniques weren't known.
No.
Because she was looking at it very sort of like, what's this sort of thing?
Yeah, you know?
Again, it
because they were using flint, Paul, not
exactly.
Yeah,
metal.
You're talking about the technology, but even seeing a European was quite rare in those parts, even in those days.
They knew they were there because they said, we may have to go beyond the, you know, the thing. And he was like, no.
Yeah.
You know, so they knew there was a foreign presence in that direction.
A threat. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got to say, overall, I mean, every Predator movie that you watch after the 1987 one, they're an immediate disadvantage because everyone knows what it is now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was the biggest factor of the 1987, the first one, is that you, right till the end of the film, you didn't know what the fucking hell this thing was. And that was the suspense, the mystery, the questions, the mental gymnastics you had to do.
Yeah.
Whereas now every Predator film is just like, okay, so that's these people. Right, okay, those people are going to get dead.
Yeah, everyone's going to die. Predator. Yeah, everyone's going to die as a lead character. Yeah.
And that leads me on to my next thing, is the Predator, is that when its mask is removed, it's yet another odd-looking species of Predator. Yeah. Its eyes are different. It's got a massive forehead. Mm.
The only thing is the same is the big... the tusks.
The mandibles that it's got. So I'm getting very confused at all the kind of twists and turns and the different branches of Yautja. Again, it's just this kind of lack of train of thought, you know? I think, as I said earlier, they should have watched 1, 2 fucking...
Whatever else in between.
Predators and then The Predator 2018. You should have watched the whole lot and you would have, the things we've picked up on wouldn't have happened.
No.
No, so, I agree.
So what do you think?
Overall? What, scoring it or?
I just want to, before we score it, I've got I got an idea for the next Predator.
Oh yeah.
I want to take it to 1888 Jack versus Predator.
Well, it's a Jack Sparrow.
No, Jack the Ripper, he's all about. Oh, 1888, Jack the Ripper, Victorian London.
Yeah. Versus Predator.
Well, I tell you what, actually, there might be a story in that, because it could actually, Jack the Ripper could be
a Predator.
Yeah. I didn't think of that. I thought, you know, them two versus each other and Jack wins.
Versus Jason.
Another shoe, another shoehorned franchise.
Yes, indeed. But
you forget that actually. Yeah,
tying it in so that the Predator is actually
Jack
Ripper. That might be an interesting idea to flesh out.
They haven't ever found the person who was him, so that could be a good idea.
So the thing is with this, the ending animation. Right, the ending animation heavily implied that there was going to be another one because you see the two ships come in and whatnot.
You do.
I hope they don't carry on this Comanche Naru character theme I really hope they don't carry it on. I like the Predator series, although there's been some real shit movies in this whole franchise. I like the fact that it's different time periods and different settings. I like that. So this opens up, but based on the success of this anyway, even like from a realistic financial point of view, Disney have got to be thinking, okay, there's life in this yet. We could do a few more of these. So I'm hoping that they do actually go, right, well, let's do one in 1776, the American Revolution. Let's do one in 1914, beginning of the First World War.
Yeah,
that type of thing. I hope that that's what they do.
You know, that could be a good way to go, like what you've just mentioned, especially the First and Second World War, because I don't know if you've heard reports that have just come out recently. There were loads of different sightings of UFOs and aliens during that period, and there's not been explanations that these were just taken, come out, top government secret documents somewhere.
Okay. So like a tie-in, yeah?
Yeah. So that'll be interesting.
What, but I really want the movie based around the Roosevelt alien landings.
No, no, no.
Roswell
was the president.
Right? Roswell, New Mexico, wasn't it? In 40, whatever it was, 44, 38. I don't know, I can't remember.
Area 51,
isn't it? Yeah, yeah. I think
it was. Area 51 was formed afterwards, wasn't it? And but on the belief there was always an Air Force base, but it became known as that apparently after that.
Yeah.
Right. Is Edwards Air Force Base like technical name, actual name? Is it Edwards Air Force Base or is? Oh, I should remember.
No, I don't know either.
But yeah, I agree. A film around that era might work.
Yeah, I think during bombing raids, there were certain things that the pilots used to. Report, but the report by the actual. Hi there.
We have RS with us. As one of you is going to show up, actually, because he made a comment on one of our last movie review, and he said about this.
It's Edwards Air Force Base, formed in 55. Anyway, yeah.
Now,
what's a shit movie?
RS slagged off the Batman. And we were kind of on the very similar thread because he joined Smear and myself slagging the most recent Batman movie off. And he joined in. And he actually made a comment and said that he didn't like this film.
No.
So, yeah. Poor fan fiction, for sure. That's an interesting one, that, because I didn't think it was quite as bad as fan fiction. But. Yeah, I think we were just about to wrap this up, actually, RS, mate, because we've been going for an hour or so now, and we're about to score it, actually. So let's do that. Who wants to go first?
I am going. I'm going to give it a 7, purely because of the time period.
Yeah.
And after, well, yeah, I mean, if I were to score it after watching it without then doing any reading, I'd probably give it a 6. But because I've done a bit of reading and research afterwards, I would give it a 7. Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's not as good as Irish just said, it's not as good as the 87, and I gave that a 9, I think.
Yeah, I think I gave that similar. And as I said earlier, is that you can't beat that because the mystery, the intrigue, the fact that you're sat there not knowing what this thing is, it's all gone now. So,
yeah.
Not only that, I think no one does a good Austrian accent as Arnie as well.
Well, let's hope they don't bring him back and, you know, out of the fucking tomb and like with the whole fucking Terminator shit and do one later on down the line after all of this. And Arnie's sucked back in to have to, he's the only one that understands and the only one that knows. They need his superior knowledge to beat this.
Well, when he's on a bloody wheelchair in 20 years' time, going,
I don't know. Well,
95.
Who knows? 95. Could be. I mean, they did that with Top Gun, didn't they?
Brilliant. Yeah, actually, you know what? I wish you'd come in a bit earlier as well, mate, because it would have been interesting. Well, we've raised some decent points, so you know, I'm sure you'll watch back. I've raised some points that irritated me about this film. But I'm going to go next with my score, and I'm going to give it a 7.2. there were some factors in this film that did irritate me, and that's due to just typical Hollywood screenwriters just kind of jamming things in when they didn't need to. One of the things I didn't actually mention is in my notes here, is that there seems to be a thing in modern films at the moment where something happens, like somebody gets punched or somebody gets knocked out or someone gets decapitated, and then there's a pause to emphasize the point, and then there's like a sarky or witty comment that is said afterwards, or there's like some sort of facial like emotion portrayed, and then the film goes on. So it's like action, 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 stop, pause, and then action, 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 action. And there was a number of those bits in this film. One of them, Naru, says something about she's not as dumb as a beaver or something, or as an otter. And there was a section on this where the Yautja cut someone's head off by expanding its shield and then retracting it.
And then the camera
focuses purely on its face, and it makes some sort of noise, and then fucks off and gets, oh, we're killing the rest of them. Those bits, again, it's just Hollywood thing. I fucking hate those, and it had no place in this film whatsoever. But anyway, 7 from me. So, Samir, you're right.
You two have given it 7, mate. I mean, I'm going to go 6. I found it pretty hard to watch it. I had to watch it in 20 minute bits. As I said, I found the first 20 to 30 minutes interesting. Middle was the usual shit. All these strong guys get knocked out and get chopped up. And this person who's as you said, Neinstein versus this 7-foot monster beats it. I'm not saying it's not possible, but that was one of the things that I thought, okay, I could have watched the first one and similar to that. The last 15-20 minutes was interesting, and that's why I will go for 6. The middle was the same as every other Predator movie, virtually.
That's a good point, actually. I hadn't considered that. Iris had just said, anyone remember how the Yautja camo malfunctioned with water in the original movie? How the heck is the camo working just fine in water during the bear fight?
That's interesting
point, actually, because there are, that is a good fact, actually. Another one here, she plucks his mandible tooth off like it's a flower. Now, yes, I thought that was a bit, I actually said out loud to myself when I was watching this earlier, did she just pull that mandible off? And she did. There's a few bits like that that kind of, I mean, it's a film at the end of the day, isn't it? It's there for entertainment purposes. But there's a few things in this film that do kind of grate on your nerves a little bit. So, which is why so many critics and people on YouTube and that are saying that they've really loved this film. This is a great return of form, and it's the best film since the first one, which I could see why. I mean, I didn't mind the second one myself, but there's a lot of hype around this film at the moment, and it seems people aren't being particularly critical enough, I don't think. The Feral offs himself, Sterling K. Brown style. He forgot to read the instruction to his own laser targeting system. Yeah, we mentioned that earlier, actually.
Yeah, we did, yeah. Yeah, she was very assumptive in the fact that he wouldn't realise that.
Yeah, I mean, that was the whole plan,
yeah,
wasn't it? That was their entire plan.
That was,
and if he'd like noticed the three dots, like you said, Justin, noticed the three dots weren't working and said, actually, that's not right, she would have been totally fucked.
She would have been, yeah.
It would have been a very different film. Yeah.
I think it would have been game set and match.
In all honesty, I think actually it was a bit of a lame ending, actually. I think we're just being shot in his head by his own weapon. Well, I mean, the fact that he actually even watched it go around the tree as well. You know, he fired it, saw it go off course. He's like, oh, and then sort of went in a full circle, watched it go around, and ended up in his own head. I mean, you'd at least duck, wouldn't you, if you as an advanced species? You think, oh, fuck, you know, bollocks. But then it's a targeting thing. So even if you ducked it, it got him, wouldn't it? That was the point. But
I don't know. I think it only stays when the red dots are there. So if the red dots are like in a straight line,
Actually,
they still would have.
Yeah, so even if he moved slightly and just dodged it. Oh, yeah, of course, because the Comanche dude in the field, didn't it? She pulled him away.
Yeah, and dragged him, yeah.
Good point. Yeah. So he's an idiot, really. But that shows my point about him being a young Yautja who's learning. So he was learning his skill, which is why he had taken on a wolf, then a bear, and he was finding the strongest species. So I like the fact that they kept that continuity of the film, that he was trying to find the most powerful, the best warrior or the best species of the best fight, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, but the thing is, they couldn't do a Arnie a sort of ending where he challenges this 7-foot bloody monster, could they?
Yeah.
That's why they had to do that sort of ending. Otherwise, it would have been she would have lost physical fight.
Should have carnage. This 90-pound woman just been ripped to shreds. Yeah.
So they had to do something stupid like that, where you go, I don't know.
Well, also, particularly if you're jumping off a tree with an axe, you'd go straight for the head with it, wouldn't you? You'd be like off the tree and you get the momentum and the gravity and you jam that fucking tomahawk right in his fucking head, wouldn't you? You wouldn't like land on his shoulders and swing it into his stomach. You go straight for the head.
Yeah. Scar was an unblooded Yautja as well. He took out the Xeno Queen. What film was that in, RS? Are you referring to an AVP film? Because it must be, because Xenomorph Queen hasn't been in any of the actual Predator movies. It must be an AVP that you're referring to. I don't really remember those films. It's been years since I've watched those.
Well, I guess we'll probably have to think about doing them to sort of conclude this whole saga. But
this is hard enough in the actual official ones.
Well, I don't know. We've done Alien. We've done, we've done all the Alien. Well, we haven't done all the Alien, actually. We've still got Prometheus and all the rest of it to do. But
we have. Yeah. Actually, but before we go, I'm actually quite interested in asking RS, is there any plot holes in the first one that you're really acutely aware of that piss you off? Because I think the first movie is held up as this kind of paragon as like the best fucking film ever type, the best action movie ever, which I tend to agree with. But there must be things in that are wrong, annoying. It can't all be perfect. But anyway,
what's his name? The wrestler in that?
The what? Sorry.
What was the actor who was the actual wrestler in the first one?
Oh, Jesse Ventura.
Jesse Ventura.
I ain't got no time to bleed.
Yeah, Jesse the Body Ventura. He's a fucking legend, that guy. Oh. Absolutely brilliant. It's fucking brilliant. Even in like the WWF wrestling days, I love watching Jesse Ventura.
Wasn't he also a governor of some state?
Minnesota, yeah. He was the governor of Minnesota for a while. Okay, wow. I'll just come back. A few plot holes in the first one for sure, like the mud block in the thermal vision. Yeah.
Well, it can do if it's cool enough, I presume, and it's thick enough, but I don't think that would be the case in the in that plot, the way they show it in the first one.
Well, I think I've gone through all my notes and I've made all the points I wanted to make. Not a bad film. It's not awful by any stretch. I've seen a lot fucking worse, but I don't think it's quite as good as people are making out at the moment. I think if they were to take a step away for a month and then watch it again, I think they'd be like, actually, it wasn't as good as I first imagined.
Oh, no, Michelle, I'd rather have afternoon tea, have cucumber sandwiches than watch it again.
Huh.
Okay.
Because I know, as I said, I struggled. As I said, the middle bit is the same as every other Predator movie. I only, out of the full 1 hour, 56, whatever it was, I enjoyed 30 minutes or 40 minutes of the movie, and that's why I gave it a 6. I don't know if I can watch the rest. I liked how they did the Indian bit in it and took it back in time. That was good. As I said, it was unusual in the first 20, 30 minutes and the last 20, 30 minutes. But in between, it was just the same old stuff. These guys couldn't beat her in a 5'4" person. I'm not saying it looked like they're on the screen. Beat her. And the fact is, I know that wouldn't happen. And the ending wasn't great, as we said, the way it ended.
It's funny you mentioned the 40 minutes, because I've got in my notes here 40 minutes in felt that there was enough intrigue and adversity to keep me interested. I felt that throughout the film. I did think it was there was enough there to keep me interested all throughout, really. The critics are overhyping the fuck out of this movie. Yet again, it's the Batman deja vu. Go woke, get retarded to no end by the critics.
But, Armis, you've got a point in certain things, because there wasn't enough gore in this movie. There wasn't enough blood and all these usual stuff that you expect from a Predator. Do you feel the same about that, Armis?
Enough gore?
Yeah, enough gore. Sort of thing.
There was.
I don't know what bloody hell, what movie were you watching, Justin, mate? I mean, this was like going down and having a picnic sort of thing movie.
Well, it wasn't no, not Reservoir Dogs, fucking Dog Soldiers, but...
No gore.
Yeah, there was no human skulls, although you did see, which was another interesting one, actually, because you saw him do the spray on the wolf skull. Yes,
yeah. Burn it off,
him,
didn't he?
Yeah, we didn't see him polishing it like we saw in other films with a human skull, but yeah.
And unfortunately, yeah, CGI is used as a fallback now, I think, fallback for lack of effort.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but yeah. It does get overused. It gets relied upon so much now. I think it's obviously cheaper than actually having full-on models and stuff. Anyway, should we wrap it up?
Yeah.
Sure. One more. Final comment here from RS. Remember Billy getting his skull and spine ripped out? Yeah. He even showed his face when it happened. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah.
They did do that with the wolf. He did pull the spine and the skull off the wolf.
Yeah, but it wasn't like that effective. It wasn't scary. I remember when that happened to Billy as a 10-year-old at the time, I couldn't sleep for days because that shitted me up.
Looking That's because you were 10.
I mean, mate, even to the... Listen
the effects
to me,
on you
even
at 10 is not going to be the same as 45, is it?
Listen, I've got 2 weeks till I'm 45, okay? Keep it cool, man. I'm still 44. No, I tell you what, even to this day, I do not want to watch Jaws. And if I watch it, I won't go into the water, right? So even at this age, it affects me that much. This didn't affect me. It was like, oh, right, okay, he's taking a spine out of the wolf, and that's it. Oh, okay, wow. He's done that to the bear. Oh, I'm lifting it. Oh, I can see some.
I think you live in fucking 1715, Samir, sometimes, honestly.
No. Guess it's correct, old chap. I live doing the Raj.
Oh, right. Right. Anyway, like, subscribe, hit the fucking bell.
Yeah, like, subscribe, hit the notification bell because you don't want to miss this shit every Sunday, do you?
Absolutely.
I mean, fucking hell, it's the highlight of this. Should be the highlight of your entire week.
It should. Yeah, look forward to it.
Yeah. It's definitely us. I'm telling you, you can tell from our smiles.
All right, well, let's wrap this up then, because it's getting on a bit, and it's fucking hot here in the UK. We're not equipped to handle heat here. Our houses don't have air conditioning or shit. We're reliant upon fucking handheld fans and Chinese-style, Japanese-style fans.
Well, I'll tell you now.
So you don't have the punker
wireless. I've got my bollocks hanging out, so... You know, I've got my T-shirt on, but you ain't seeing the rest.
Yeah. Stand up, Justin.
No.
Little acorn saying hello.
Woo! Justin, you don't have the punker wireless then.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us, RS, again. Thank you.
Yeah, cheers,
watch
mate.
The rest of it. Take Go back it. And watch the rest of it. Right, let's end it there then, shall we? Let's get out of here.
Terrific.
See you next week. Social media and all that shit, you can find us there, whatever. Do what you fucking like. See you later.
See you later.
See you later. Bye.